Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 161. Thank you for coming back. Before I start this episode, let me say up front that I am not in my usual recording location, in my usual comfort zone when I do this. I am actually out of town this week for about a week. I'm in beautiful Florida, or as the hardcore Portuguese say, Algarve in America. And I'm down here on for work, and I'm also down here on some private business, looking forward to seeing a few relatives that live in this area. And doing some things that people do when they go to Florida, where the weather is so beautiful compared to where I live, where it's obviously a lot colder. So I'm looking forward to being down here. But as a result, I do not have my usual equipment. Did not feel like dragging it on the plane, to be honest with you. So I know some people take their recording, their podcast listening seriously with the quality of it, and I apologize if it seems a little bit off, like I'm talking from a tunnel, but that's the best that I can do. And for those that decide to stick with it, thank you very, very much. But a lot to talk about in this episode. First off, big European week for Benfica, as well as Sporting, who showed themselves well versus Arsenal. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Talk about last week's reviewing week 23 of the Liga B win and previewing another weekend coming up, week 24. First division report last week and the weekend coming up. Bit of a review as well as a preview on women's football, which is now a regular part of this broadcast, keeping you all up to date. Of course, next week we've also got the second leg of the Champions League between Porto and Inter being played in the Dragão. And then next Friday, very interesting thing, Friday, very busy time. And we're not necessarily talking about football matches, but stuff that goes on. But next Friday, the 17th of March, one, Benfica will discover next Friday morning, the 17th, their Champions League opponent in the quarterfinals. Hopefully, if Sporting can pull the upset, they will be also that day waiting to see who they play in Europa. And hopefully, if Porto gets past Milan and Conceição has a great record against Italian teams, that we could have three teams looking to discover next Friday who they may be playing in the quarterfinals. So fingers crossed on that one. And then also next Friday, you got Roberto Martinez announcing his selection, his first squad as Portugal manager for the European matches, qualifiers against Liechtenstein and Luxembourg. And very interesting because the first match is on the 23rd, which is a Thursday. But Roberto Martinez is announcing his squad selection on the 17th. And I've been doing this for over 25 years in terms of, you know, PortugueseSoccer.com and, you know, your Portuguese expert here all these years. You know, I remember a time when they would announce the squad selections like 3 weeks before the matches. And then it became 2 weeks. And now you basically have Roberto Martinez announcing it now something like 6-7 days before the first qualifier. Now, we as fans are going to find out about it on the 17th, but the players have a pretty good idea, especially at least 18 or 19 of them for sure are going to know that they're going to be called up because, you know, these players aren't going to get on TAP or Ryanair to come to Lisbon. They're going to make arrangements, charters, planes, you know, all those things of that nature. So I'm pretty sure the players that get called probably know by now, which makes me wonder at this point. And I'm sure, again, I don't know, but if I could, you know, if I could bet with somebody, I would bet Cristiano already knows whether or not he's coming or not. And if he's not, they've had that discussion about what they're going to say publicly about it. But basically, next Tuesday, the 17th, they're going to officially announce the squad selection. And again, the next match is 6 days after, which again, kind of, it's just different than what it's usually been, is I guess the point that I'm trying to make here from my experience of doing this stuff. So that'll be next Friday. But let's get going first, talking about Europe this week. Great result for Benfica, taking care of business, beating Bruges 7-1 on aggregate, everything firing on all cylinders. Gonçalo Ramos with another big European night, another opportunity to grow his name among fans around the world. Rafa was named man of the match, but gave Gonçalo his Man of the Match award. Again, Benfica continuing record-wise being one of the best teams in Europe, and they continue to do what they want, have been wanting to do, you know, ever since they got Roger Schmidt. And Benfica now advances to the quarterfinals, and we'll know all eight teams next Friday morning when the draw comes out. It's 11 a.m. Portugal time, or for a lot of us, of course, in North America on the East Coast, that's 6 a.m. East Coast time. And so we'll see who Benfica will get. But certainly right now you have to be very excited. But now that you're getting to the final eight, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of fans that are going to want to play Benfica because everyone's going to want to avoid the Giants. So expect to see a lot of that talk on social media where fans hoping they'll be playing the Portuguese team. Sporting, they did themselves very well against my club, the Gunners, the Arsenal. I mean, you know, it should have been a 2-1 result. There was a foul on Pote before Arsenal had the ball and shot it. And then there was that own goal by the Japanese midfielder, Morita. And it seems like, you know, a lot of people were very frustrated, especially Sporting fans, at sometimes the bad luck that basically Portuguese clubs seem to have in Europe, which goes to show you what happens in Portugal and what happens in Europe sometimes with, you know, not getting the right calls. But look, Sporting played at home, much like Benfica, in front of a good crowd, although Benfica's much bigger. Obviously, they have a bigger stadium. But Sporting showed themselves well. There was, you know, one pundit in England that didn't expect Arsenal to lose, and a lot of Arsenal fans that I know did not expect Arsenal to lose. They expected to win quite comfortably the first leg and then, you know, rest up some players for the second leg at the Emirates in London. But that did not happen. I think if you're Arsenal, you walked away with a tougher match than you expected. And I think you have to be very happy about that performance from Sporting. And yeah, disappointed that it wasn't 2-1. But nevertheless, you go to the Emirates now, and I think it's wide open. And if you're Sporting and you're Ruben Amorim, he has been mentioned as getting some possible interest from EPL clubs. You know all the rest of the players. Of course, Marcus Edwards is one that comes to mind right away. Has always been linked with clubs in England, including his old clubs. So, yeah, this is an opportunity for, you know, Sporting. I mean, again, they're not going to catch up in the Liga. It's all about finishing in third place. They're not in the Taça de Portugal. They didn't win the Taça de Liga. At this point, it's about Europa, and it's about trying to catch up to get it to Braga in third place. And in a way, because of the disappointment in the Liga, this frees them up to really concentrate a little bit more on Europe, because if they could win a few more matches in Europe, you know, they're not going to make a lot of money in Europa like they did with the Champions League, but they are going to continue to grow the Portuguese coefficient, which, again, we're in seventh place. Holland is kind of breaking away a little bit, at least in terms of the points, and we're in danger of losing a Champions League spot if we don't get this ship righted right away. But it was a very good result. And again, I think if you're Sporting, you got to go to the Emirates next week. You got to score a goal early. You can let Arsenal get off the bat and score a few goals early in the match. They're going to have a lot of fans. You got to go. Basically, they say in Portugal, a big European night, well, you need another one, except it's going to be happening at another part of the Europe. But it's exciting. And if you're Sporting, you have to be exciting that, you know, they did what they did today, represented themselves very well, and now they get to go to London and to play for an opportunity to knock off, which, by the way, if they were to knock them off, they'd be talking about knocking off the first place team in the Premier League. And let's not forget, I think it was 9-10 years ago, maybe a little bit more, I can't remember, Sporting beat in European competition in the knockout stages a very good Man City team. So, you know, and for me, and I'm sure a lot of it with you, but certainly for me, anytime a Portuguese team wins a tie that everybody expects them to lose, and all these big clubs in Europe love it when they play Portuguese teams late in this competition in the knockout stage, it feels so good, man. I mean, let's be honest. It feels good, and it feels nice to see a Portuguese team shut people up, and that's certainly what we want to see of Sporting. We hope Benfica will continue to make a big run. And then next week, you've got Porto on Tuesday playing at home in the Dragão against Inter Milan. Conceição, since he became Porto manager, has won all his matches in terms of advancing against Italian opposition. He's had a lot of success. I think The Italian press, if I recall correctly, called it Concessionism. Whenever an Italian team's been eliminated by Concessione, we know the most recent one that comes to mind on a big level was, of course, Juventus when they had Cristiano Ronaldo. And, of course, they've had, you know, to deal with Italian clubs in group stages. But, you know, again, 1-0 result, not the greatest, but nevertheless, it was only 1-0. You're coming at home to the Dragon. You'll have about a good 45,000 fans in the stadium supporting you. I think if you're Porto, you got a good opportunity on Tuesday. There's been a lot of talk about Porto these days, about, you know, they've had injuries. Galeno might be called up to play for the national team of Portugal as a naturalized citizen. He's been living in Portugal and playing for a number of years now. Is that going to motivate him as an opportunity? He's supposed to get some minutes this weekend against Chaves. Does that motivate him between this match and Tuesday to, you know, help Porto out and maybe raise the eyebrow of Roberto Martinez to call him? Little things like that help a player and help a club. And I think that's going to be a very important consideration. But again, I would love to see next Friday morning on the 17th that we have three Portuguese clubs waiting to see who their opponents are in the quarterfinals. That would be a fantastic accomplishment to have three, because most years we only have one or two. It would be a fantastic accomplishment if we could have, you know, two or three, hopefully all three clubs still playing in Europe. I think that would be a lot of fun. Not to mention it would help with the Portuguese coefficient, of course, which again is, I think, a very important consideration. But let's get going talking about the Liga B win. And of course, last week I thought the real big story was, of course, Benfica did win to continue to stay 8 points ahead with a win at home against Fama. But Porto went all the way to Chaves, made that trip there to Trás-os-Montes, and they recorded a 3-1 result. Chaves had a few players sent off, but it wouldn't have mattered. Porto was pretty much control in this match. And as a result, Porto stay 5 points behind Benfica. And then, of course, the other story was Braga. Absolutely outstanding bicycle kick goal by Simon Banza, and Braga goes on to beat Rio Ave at home 2-0. And that was actually a necessary win for Braga, because Sporting had the day before gone on a goal, if I recall correctly, Paulinho. They went to Portimão and they beat Portimonense 1-0. So, you know, Sporting did not get a chance to cut the deficit like they did the week before from 8-5. This week it stays at 5. But Braga responded to the challenge and managed to stay 5 points ahead of Sporting. Other results that we saw of interest, we saw Guimarães, who now is in fifth place by like 4 points. And let me confirm that. That is correct. Actually, it's 5 points. They went to the Açores, which are struggling. And as I'm recording this, I don't believe they've hired a new manager yet after Jorge Simon left. And I'm talking about the permanent manager. I don't think I missed that story, but hopefully I didn't miss it, because I want to give you the very latest up to date. But Guimarães is playing like the fifth best club in Portugal. I don't think they're going to catch up to top four. But Guimarães is one of Portugal's biggest clubs, and having them play in Europe is only better for our coefficient. The support at Guimarães is big time, people. Big, big time. My father is a Vitória Guimarães fan. I always grew up wondering why he was a Vitória Guimarães fan. My neighbor downstairs, God rest his soul, he passed away a few years ago, was a big Boa Vista fan. And they used to talk all the time and you know, about the matches. But my father is a big Guimarães fan. I know these days he's very, very happy to see what's going on with his club. And other results last week, we saw Estoril with Ricardo Suarez as manager to catch a beating against Vizela, 3-0, convincing win by Vizela. We saw Gil Vicente, who's been playing really well under their new manager. I think, you know, something like their seven, eight matches, they've won like 4 or 5 of them. And as a result, Gil Vicente is pretty much now in 9th place. They moved to the middle of the pack after at one point being down near the bottom, you know, struggling, and they've managed to find a new life under a manager, and they seem to be doing very, very well. So that was your report again. And again, Benfica, 8 points ahead of Porto. Porto is second place. Porto is only 2 points ahead of Braga, but it almost feels like more, because Porto has played very well. whereas Braga hasn't, and yet somehow Braga in third place is only 2 points behind Porto. I still don't see them threatening for second place. I really don't. But at the end of the day, this also tells you that Braga's start in September and October and getting all the points they did has really helped them at this point of the season, because they have been terribly inconsistent, not just in domestic, but they've had some, you know, not the greatest results in Europe, especially that first leg at home recently. And as a result, but Braga, even though it doesn't feel like that way, they're only 2 points behind Porto in third place. And then, of course, Sporting, again, 5 points behind Braga. A lot of work for Sporting to do. And then, of course, you've got Guimarães in fifth place. And then toward the bottom, still disappointing, Passos with 12 points, Santa Clara with 15. And those are the two teams that are in trouble. And then you got Marítimo sitting in the playoff place of 16th place and with 16 points. And then you got Estoril. Estoril has a 6-point lead, sitting in the safety zone at 15th place. But it doesn't feel like they have a 6-point lead, only because they're not playing like a team that has a 6-point lead. They are a few losses away from dropping into the colored area of the bottom of the standings that says you're either in the playoff fighting or you're going to be in the relegation zone. So we'll see what happens. But this week, again, 11 match days remaining to the season. Everything starts on Friday with Porto playing at home against Estoril. Porto, of course, playing on Tuesday in the Champions League, so that's why they're playing on Friday. And, of course, Porto catches a very struggling, even though they got the new manager there, Ricardo Suarez. They basically, you know, Estoril, I think, not the greatest opponent that the new manager would want to be playing now. But if you're Porto, this is an opportunity to play a team that is really down on their luck. And again, Porto Estoril will kick it off on Friday. Then you've got four matches on Saturday. Guimarães Roca. That's a very, very good match with two teams trying to battle. Guimarães right now owns fifth place, but Roca is still in the hunt. You've got Vizela versus Braga, a pair of teams from the same area. I don't hear many people call this a derby. I don't think so, because I know Vizela is in the suburbs. But you essentially have two local teams in terms of the region with Vizela and Braga. You got Chaves at home to Portimonense. And then you've got two of the bottom teams, 17th place Santa Clara coming to the mainland to play at last place Passos de Ferreira. Then on Sunday you have three matches, Rio Ave, Gil Vicente. Gil Vicente cruising under their new manager. He's been with them for about 2 months. You've got Marítimo playing Benfica. Again, Marítimo only at 16th place, but remember, they do put together sometimes some very interesting results against the big teams when they play at home. There's a different energy. They get a lot more fans in their stadium. And Marítimo has pulled a few surprises in Funchal, so we'll see what happens there. And then everything wraps up on Monday with Fama playing Casapia. And this is Casapia's second straight time that they're going to be playing on a Monday night. So that's pretty interesting. And so that's going to be played on Monday. So that's your Liga. Now, if you ask me what I think is the best match this weekend, I mean, there's obviously also the flair about, you know, the first, you know, for instance, you've got Sporting playing Boavista on Sunday. But to me, I think if you're going to ask what the best match is this weekend, I like this Guimarães, Vitória Guimarães, Roca match. Battling for fifth place, a lot on the line. If you're asking me, I kind of like the idea of that really being the best match this weekend. Second division report, not much. Well, first off, because of a draw this past weekend between Viseu, Académico de Viseu, and Estrela Madura, Moreirense continues to strengthen their lead in first place. They are now 11 points in front of Estrela Madura in first place. And again, they are cruising with 11 matches to return to the first division. But the race for second place, which automatically gets you promotion, you've got Estrela Madura in second with 42 points. You got Feirense from the Algarve with 41, and you got Académico do Viseu in fourth place with 39 points. And those three are battling for second place, or worst case, the playoff, if they finish in third place, playing the 16th place team in the first division, which if that were to end today would be Marítimo. And then you've got other teams that I don't see them getting closer than they are now, but nevertheless, you got Vila Franquense with 36 points. They actually had a very good win last week. They went to Seychelles and they beat Benfica B. You got FC Porto B in sixth. Again, Porto obviously not eligible for promotion, but they are eligible to win the Liga. I don't see it happening, but you got Porto and Penafiel sitting at 16th place with 31 points each. At the bottom, it continues to be the same three teams. You got Covilha in last place with 18 points. You've got Trofense with 19 points, so that's your 17th and 8th place team in relegation. And then you have Mafra. You've got basically Mafra is currently sitting at 16th place with 23 points, but also with 23 points, but sitting at 15th place because of the tiebreaker there is, of course, B-Side. B-Side last week pulled off a very good win, going to Feirense from Santa Maria de Feira. And B-Side, if they're going to try to avoid relegation again, these are the type of matches they have to win. And they managed to do that last week. So that was a very good result for them. And my club in the second division from Torres Vedras, they played to a 1-1 draw at home against Tundela. Torrent now sits in 12th place with 28 points. But again, the difference between the 12th place team, Torrent with 28 points, and the 6th place team, FC Porto B with 31, is just 3 points. So a few more wins, and they can move up the table and assure themselves not only of staying in the second division next year, which, by the way, they will celebrate heavily in Torres Vedras, I could tell you that, after winning the third division last year, but that would be a big deal for the town of Torres Vedras. Moving on to this weekend, Moreirense and Penafiel get everything going on Friday. You've got four matches on Saturday, Vilafranquense, Feirense, is, I think, one of the better matches this weekend. You got my club, Torrents, playing at home against FC Porto B. That'll attract a lot of Porto fans to that match in Torres Vedras. And then on Sunday, you've also got four matches, the ones that I think look very interesting. You've got last place, Covilha, hosting Benfica B at home. And then you've got Mafra against Académico do Viseu. Best match of the weekend. When I sit here and really look at everything, there's no mega matches, you know, you don't have anybody at the top playing each other. But I guess if I were to say which match for me would present the most interest, I'm going to say, let's see, I'm going to probably say Vilafranquense Feirense from the Algarve. That is the 11 a.m. match on Saturday. Of course, Vilafranquense in fifth place, Feirense in third place. Obviously, Feirense's battle, Vilafranquense, any hope of getting any higher, that's probably your best match of the, in my opinion, of the second division this weekend. Women's football, not much has changed. Benfica still with a 10-point lead on Braga and Sporting, who are both tied for second with 32 points each. Last week, Benfica did the trip up north to Minho to Vila Verde. Beautiful. And they beat Lenk Vilaverdense 7-1. Not much of a match, to be honest. We saw Sporting at home beat Torrents from Torres Vedras 1-0. And we saw Braga at home beat Valadares de Gaia 3-0. The only big news last week in women's football is that the last place team, Amora FC, which entered match day 14 with 0 points and a minus 51 goal differential, well, they won, and they won on the road. They played a team called Oriente. I probably didn't say that right. I'm sorry for those that get upset at those type of things. But Amora did win. They went on the road last week, and they won 3-0 against the team that is in seventh place. And Amora finally won a match. They finally won a match. And as a result, they get to celebrate that because they haven't had a lot to celebrate this weekend. But looking at this weekend, you've got Fama. They're playing at home to Benfica. You've got Sporting is playing at home against the last place team that I just talked about, Amora. And you've got Braga hitting the road, making the short trip along that roadway that goes up through Minho. They'll be making that short trip to play Lenk Vilaverde. So again, Benfica in control to winning, you know, with a 10-point lead, much like the men. They're in control here in the women's first division. And then you've got Braga and Sporting. And that's essentially your reports for the first and second division of men's football. And your first division report for the women. Coming up next, part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in this section. Again, I'm not in my usual recording zone. Pretty late for me, and I've got to get up pretty early tomorrow. But again, I did want to do another episode this week, so I'm glad to be doing it. And again, looking to support this podcast at PortugueseSoccer.com, please give it a follow. This is, if you're listening to this for the first time, of course, this is available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Amazon Music. It's on all the big podcast platforms, and it's also on YouTube, the audio, that is, and that's actually doing very, very well. Got to say, that's been a pleasant surprise, and thank you so much for those that do follow and do support this podcast. Coming to you every week, reviewing and previewing the news, and this is something that I look forward to doing every week. Going to talk a bit about a few things, and then I got some great news about my club Atlético dos Arcos that I'll save for the end. A few thoughts that I want to get out of the way. Number one, Sergio Conceição has been in a media blackout. He had some issues with the criticism from the referee association, and as a result, he's not expected. I believe he will be talking for the Champions League, because you're required to talk for the Champions League because you're talking about UEFA rules. But apparently he has been doing a blackout, which he's done before, by the way. This isn't necessarily anything new. But Conceição did not do the pre-match preview ahead of the match against Estoril. And, of course, Porto, of course, again, I think there's a lot of frustration with the fact that they're 8 points behind. Pinto da Costa still believes his team has a shot and that they will never give up. But at the end of the day, things have not looked things do not look very good for Porto with regards to first place, but it's all about maintaining second place. Again, Braga's only 2 points behind them, although it doesn't feel like it because, again, Braga's just been so inconsistent. But Porto, it's really about solidifying second place and then most importantly seeing about the Champions League against Inter, because advancing not only is it prestigious, but of course it means a lot more money in the pockets, and I think that's good for everybody. Other news for Porto, they renewed until 2029 with Portuguese beer Superbach. I'm more of a Sagres guy, but they've renewed with Superbach against 2029. And I saw a story, I don't know the details, but that apparently there's going to be a Netflix series. I'm assuming it's going to be Portuguese, on Pinto da Costa in his 41 years as president of Porto. And regardless of whatever you think about Pinto da Costa, let me tell you, 41 years in a job, that's a heck of an accomplishment. That is a heck of an accomplishment. So again, whenever there's more information about that, I'll be happy to put it out. We talked about Benfica. The big news with Benfica is that one of the newspapers said that Roger Schmidt is trying to get to Benfica's record of 88 points in the season, which was done by Rui Vitória when he was Benfica manager in 2015/16. They set the Liga record with 88 points. If I recall correctly, Sporting had, I think, 86 or 87 points with JJ as manager, and I think that was a record, but obviously they didn't win, and Benfica did with the record of 88 points in the three-point point era of Liga B win. But that's what they're going for. Right now, Benfica is kind of with 62 points, which is the best, according to what I've read, in Liga history after 23 matches. But now the next goal is not only to win the Liga, and obviously right now, if they were to do it, being an 8-point lead, then you're talking about it happening right around week 32. But right now, Benfica, celebrating being in the Champions League, over 70 million euros in profit. Gonçalo Ramos is getting all the attention in the world. Let's see if that, you know, if he continues to play, but he's becoming the next best thing. Thierry Henry had a lot of nice things to say about him. And there's been some controversy with Benfica with their CEO. And again, I try not to talk a lot about these things. I mean, if you want to talk about Busquets and you want to talk about the allegations of corruption that exist throughout Portugal, I may touch base with it, but I'm not going to go into it because it just seems like another week, another team gets accused. It just feels like it is that way. So I'm not going to really dump on anybody. I'm just going to stick to as much as possible with the positive stuff. But Benfica, totally in cruise control. João Mário playing some of his best football. He will be called, in my opinion, by Roberto Martinez. I would be shocked if he wasn't, but I'm 98% sure that he will no doubt be called. And next week, I will probably begin my podcast predicting who I think will be called up by Roberto Martinez in his first squad selection. But that's for the next episode, because there's still another episode to go before the squad selection next Friday. And again, I'm just very surprised that they're announcing it on the 17th with the first match on the 23rd. You know, I remember a time when it used to be 3 weeks they would announce it before a match. Then it became two, and now I've never seen it at 6 days. You just wonder what that's really all about. But that's Benfica. Sporting, of course, I've already talked to them about Arsenal. There's not much more to say, although curious to see how many more stories we're going to hear about with Sporting's young players going to play in England and the interest in English clubs. Every time a Portuguese club plays someone in England, you always hear a lot of stories. And of course, the social media accounts try to take advantage of that because they know they'll get more views and more likes and all that other stuff. I'm going to wrap it up right here. Atlético dos Arcos, a fantastic result last week. First off, they recorded a big win last week. They won at home against the 16th place team, very bad team called Fichense. Atlético dos Arcos winning 5-0 at home. And then I said, I hope that our rival town, the one that the only claim to fame they have is that bridge, as I like to tell my people I know from Punta Barca. But I said, Punta Barca, could you do us a favor and take a point from the second place team, the first place team, Limianos? And guess what? Punta Barca did that. They basically played, Punta Barca played to a 1-1 draw at Limianos in Punta Lima. And as a result, Limianos now had been leading by 3 points over Arcos. And now that lead, that advantage has dwindled to just basically 1 point. So Limianos with 59 points and Atlético dos Arcos with 58. The third place team, Vitorino de Piões, is in third with 50 points. So I don't see them competing. And guess what? Guess what? This weekend, first place Limianos will be playing at home against Atlético dos Arcos. So that is a very big match on Sunday. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to see it because I'll be down here. I'm away doing some stuff. But wow, what a big match. No doubt Arcos could return to first place like they had been for most of the season with a big win. But Limianos, of course, will be looking for at the very least a draw. So for me, in my little part of the world, following Atlético dos Arcos, this is a very, very big match. Unfortunately, you can't watch it anywhere unless you listen to the Relato on Radio Valdevez. And maybe I'll try to sneak a peek every once in a while, depending on some plans that I have for this Sunday. So again, good luck to Atlético dos Arcos. A chance playing the first place team. Please, please try to get the points because I don't want to have to go to a playoff or finish second again. Only one team gets promoted to the fourth tier, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, folks, again, thanks for putting up with this podcast, not being in its regular location. Looking forward to Porto Inter on Tuesday. I'll be flying back, but I'll be home in time to watch that match. And then, of course, we've got Sporting playing Arsenal next Thursday, and do I so want to hope that Sporting win in advance so that we can get rid of all the people that expect Arsenal to advance. I so like to shut people up. And look, I'm an Arsenal fan, but the Portuguese in me is just a little bit stronger on this thought process, and I'd love to see a Portuguese club advance. I think that would be a lot of fun. And then, of course, next Friday, don't forget, you're going to have, hopefully, we know Benfica will be doing the draw for the Champions League. They'll be seeing their opponent. We hope Porto will join them. And then, of course, we hope that Sporting will be doing the draw at, will be 12 o'clock Switzerland. Well, it'll be 12 o'clock Portugal time for the Europa draw, 11 o'clock for the Champions League draw. And then at 12:30, so you're talking about 7:30 in New York, will be Roberto Martinez. So hopefully a lot of announcements next Friday. Oh, and by the way, Rui Jorge will also be making his under-21 selections right after Roberto Martinez. So a lot of replay your roster selections. Who could the Portuguese teams be playing in Europe, especially if Porto and Sporting advance? We'll all find out about that next Friday. And again, I'll be putting out that episode before that, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in my next one. Anyway, folks, going to wrap this up. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your families. Please stay safe. And I'll talk to you next time. Ciao, everybody.